Hello and welcome to At the Movies with Mike and Marie, a show where two film professors talk about movies. I'm Marie Westhaver.
I'm Mike Giuliano.
And today we're going to talk about actor Laura Linney, who comes up from a theater family. Her father was a prominent playwright, Romulus Linney, whose own great-grandfather was a congressman from North Carolina. Her mother was a nurse. Now, she didn't live in her father's house. Her parents divorced when she was really small. But her world revolved in part around his profession from the earliest age. She went to Brown University. At age 14, she spent the summer at the New London Barn Playhouse, Summer Stock Theater in New London, New Hampshire, and loved it, sometimes doing 14-hour days. You know, eventually ends up doing theater work, as so many people that we have talked about on this show have done, and then makes her way into movies. But what I want to sort of talk about in terms of Laura Linney on this program is she's sort of a stealth actor. You know, she plays all of these girl next door kinds of roles. And you see her in so many things, and you relate to her, and you look at her as, you know, the characters that she puts forth. And there's just this sort of girl next door quality to it. She could be your sister or your best friend or your coworker. There's something very everyman about her, kind of a female Jimmy Stewart. What do you think, Mike, in terms of generally about it?
No, you're making a lot of good points about her. Just to reinforce a few of them, we have, as we talk about actors on our show, oftentimes been in a situation where, not that it's awkward, but we're a movie show, right? And we talk about this strong theater background these people have. She's one of the strongest examples of that. And let me give you some statistics here. She has received 3 Academy Award nominations. You know what? She's received 5 Tony Award nominations. She's done a lot of theater. And again, reinforcing one of your points in particular, Marie, her father, Romulus Linney, was, you know, a very successful playwright. She actually very aptly, when she was in college, this would have been at Brown, she was a performer in one of his plays, A Child Byron. It's about Lord Byron. She plays Lady Ada Lovelace, in other words, you know, and it's a very bright, very intelligent script. But the fact that she's acting in her father's work, she really, you know, is blessed that way in terms of academically where she's gone to school. She goes to Brown for her bachelor's. She goes to Juilliard for a graduate diploma. She's acting in plays in college. Her dad is there, or was there, you know, as a big support and actually, you know, someone she could work with on stage even. She has her Broadway debut in 1990. So again, she's 57 now. So she goes back a ways, you know, as a stage actor. Let me talk very briefly, because her early film roles are very brief. Her first movies, titles like Lorenzo's Oil, Dave, Searching for Bobby Fischer, plus a good bit of television work. I don't want to belabor that because there's not much to belabor, as I say. I mean, she's getting noticed and so on, but she's not really a star by any means. But Marie, this is to your question to me. And eventually, I'm in my own long-winded way, eventually I do answer questions, right? For me, the movie where I had noticed her in movies that I just mentioned, but where she was getting more noticed was in a film that frankly is not a very good film, but it was a standard issue commercial film that got noticed. That was Congo in 1995. Based on the Michael Crichton book. Essentially, in a nutshell, if you will, and it's kind of nutty, it's gorillas versus scientists, okay? It's one of these sci-fi things. And you know, her character, you know, has some screen time there. What I thought about was, let me go back and read some of the original reviews of it. Like, are they, because in those earlier movies I mentioned, she's not even listed in some of the credits, like for the top 6 or 7 actors. That's how small the roles are. But she does get a prominent role in Congo. And Janet Maslin, who was the lead film critic of the New York Times back in 95, this is one of the first things I've seen in print that really highlights Laura Linney's image, her potential, if you will. Here's what she wrote about her. Linney is an elegantly restrained young actress. Marie, this is to your point. When you mention a kind of every man or every woman quality, she's not flashy, she's not showy, but she quietly gets the job done. She does the work. And this is where she really starts to get noticed. So Congo's in 95. The next year, Primal Fear, that's a film that we've talked about in other contexts. It really is. Frances McDormand's in it, you know, as a psychiatrist. Richard Gere's the star, really. We've talked about it actually also as the breakthrough role for Columbia's own Edward Norton, right? And Laura Linney is in that film. And she plays a prosecutor in that, and who'd also been a lover of the Richard Gere character. Again, that's a big commercial film, and she's one of the top 3 or 4 actors in it. So she's getting a lot of notice there. And what we should say then is she's been acting on stage for a long time at this point, and in movies, you know, coming up on a decade or so of movie work, But the real breakthrough for her would be The Truman Show in 1998. So let me hand it back to you. And then there's a lot I want to say about The Truman Show.
Okay. Yeah, and you and I both use The Truman Show in our classes. So I know you have a lot to say about that. But I do want to sort of underscore this idea that Laura Linney is sort of the stealth actor. You've seen her in a lot of stuff. Like, I forgot about seeing her in Dave. You know, I kind of forgot about her role in Primal Fear. And when you go back and watch them now, it's much more obvious that, oh, Laura Linney. And that's how you always feel when you come across a movie with her in it. Like, oh, good, Laura Linney, because she's so likable and so flexible in all the roles that she plays. Now, I discovered her in Armistead Maupin's Tales of the City, where she plays Marianne Singleton, you know, the ingenue who comes to San Francisco. And it's a wonderful series, by the way. It really does justice to the novels. And then, of course, they made, you know, more Tales of the City and et cetera, in which she reprises her role. And she's wonderful in it because she has that sort of small town aspect to her. The, you know, she's a cute blonde, but she's not the bombshell blonde. She's the girl next door. She's somebody you would completely trust.
You make such an important point there. I've been thinking a lot about her because that's what we're talking about today. And the thing that struck me more than anything is, okay, she's a really fine actor and she's done some good work, both in independent films and bigger Hollywood films. And yet, would one call her a movie star? She's a familiar face. She's a reliable presence. You know, you can count on her in various ways, to riff on one of the film titles. But the point here is, if you start listing like major actors who qualify as celebrities, as movie stars that way, she doesn't make that list really. There are a lot of, like in terms of the general public, people would recognize her. They might know the name, might not, but they're not going to necessarily piece together the filmography unless, as we, you know, academically do, like, oh, this and this and this. But you just would like see her and like, oh, I've seen her before. I like her. But, you know, she doesn't make that top roster. But you know what? And this is armchair psychoanalysis. I don't think she worries about it. I mean, I don't feel like she's clawing her way to try to be like a top movie star and with all the trappings of that. I think she just looks for good scripts and she does quality work. But Marita, it's such a curious point. Why? I mean, she has the looks to be a movie star. Let's cut to the chase on that. She's very attractive. She definitely has the acting talent. She has the versatility. She has all the elements that should lend themselves to that. But somehow, and you know what it is for me, and this is again armchair psychoanalysis, because she's always continued to work on the stage as well, push come to shove, and I hate to put actors in this situation, but I think of her as like a stage actor who went into the movies, and she's always good on screen, but you know what? She does the material and does it well, but you don't feel like she arrives there in a limousine as a movie star. You know what I'm getting at? It's like she's a good quality stage actor who arrives with the script and she knows it. So in terms of The Truman Show from 1998, as Marie said, she and I both use it in our courses. I absolutely love the film. Without spoiling it entirely, if people haven't seen it, but the Jim Carrey character grows up in what amounts to like a Norman Rockwell painting. It's just idyllic, perfect small town life and so on. Well, lo and behold, as I guess I will spoil it somewhat, spoiler alert, you know, it turns out it's like an elaborate ruse. It's all a TV show. It's like, you know, people sit in their living rooms or in the local bar and they watch his every waking moment. Again, it's rather prophetic of where we are in media culture today, isn't it? 1998, looking ahead to that, you know, you could have your own, you know, show. You know, you're having breakfast. Oh, look, he's walking down the street. You know, every little moment is captured. Well, anyway, to cut to the chase in this respect, in terms of Laura Linney, Jim Carrey, whom we've talked about on the show before, he brings all those attributes of likability to it. Now, she, within The Truman Show, plays his character's wife, Meryl. And of course, she's in on, and he's clueless. He's so naive. He just thinks he's living his life, but he has a few things to make him wonder, but he's just going about his daily business and every day sort of like the day before. And she, of course, is part of the master team. She is, you know, an actor playing the wife of this guy. And what I love about it is the deliberately artificial movement and line readings that she has. And in fact, the character, Meryl, prepares for this role by studying old advertising photographs, like in 1940s Sears Roebuck catalogs, just this wholesome middle American life. And she actually, you know, reads up on that stuff. What I love so much about Laura Linney's performance here is you can see the wheels turning. Like if Jim Carrey says something, you can see like that she, you know, tilts the head and then reacts as she's been scripted to react, like, you know, like the smile. Okay, smile now. Okay, turn left, turn right. She knows where the cameras are, in other words, and she knows how to play the scene. He's just being himself, but she's playing to the camera there. And sometimes, because it is a television show we're watching, basically, there are commercial plugs. So like she or other characters would be like standing in a kitchen And he might come in and say, oh, you know what? Well, you're doing the dishes and hold up the butt and she'll hold up the box. And say, oh yes. And this is the detergent I always use, you know, moments like that. All the other characters have moments like that where they're like living signboards. They hold up a commercial product and they pitch it. But what I love so much about Laura Linney's performance in this respect is how disciplined it is. I mean, as an actor, she hits her mark and she knows how to play sweet. And that includes playing like artificially sweet. And you can see the distinctions there as to when she's being genuine, whatever that might mean, and when she's turning on the charm, because that's what her character's meant to do in this TV show, the Truman Show. But that film did extremely well critically and commercially. And for me, it was what really put her over. I'd known her work before, but as Marie mentioned, sometimes you could sort of forget that you'd seen her in something else. But boy, in the Truman Show, you do remember her. And that's saying a lot because it's really Jim Carrey's show, right? But you do remember her very much as part of it.
You know, if you can be memorable playing second banana to Jim Carrey, I mean, you have to have some serious star power because he tends to completely eat all of the scenery. Now, it's interesting. Her character is named Meryl in The Truman Show, and that's because she's such a big fan of Meryl Streep. So not only was she named Meryl, but they made her up to look like Meryl Streep. And she had this to say about her character on The Truman Show, about how they did all these backstories about the characters, you know, where they were and what was going on with them so that you can bring that, you know, reality to the role. So she says when the movie picks up, Hannah Gill, who plays Meryl Burbank, is aware of the fact that she's losing her influence over Truman. He's not happy at home. He's beginning to get agitated. He's beginning to think of things outside the house, and she can feel that she's losing her power. So consequently, the smile gets bigger and bigger. And the desperation, that is why there is that intense undertow to her, because she knows she is losing it. And I love that quote because it so sums up the character that she has to play. She has to keep soldiering on, even though she knows this is not going well. But she takes that kind of character trait to some other roles that she does. And, you know, I want to briefly mention the movie you referenced sort of obliquely, You Can Count on Me, where she plays, you know, a guy's sister. And again, in the role, you see that is exactly like somebody's sister. I have a bunch of sisters, and it really rings true in terms of, you know, bringing that sort of, again, it's an everyman kind of a thing, but it's very relatable. Even if you don't have sisters, there's something very real about that.
And that dynamic is so real. She's the sister to a character played by Mark Ruffalo. And the two of them really, you feel like you're watching real siblings. Now, where's the credit go there? The director is Kenneth Lonergan, who's also a playwright too. Again, strong writing skills there. So the scripting is really smart, you know, a brother and sister who really seem like that's the case. The film did extremely well among critics. I mean, did reasonably well in the art house circuit, but critically, it was the co-winner of the Grand Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival, and Laura Linney received an Academy Award nomination as Best Actress. So she got a lot of attention for that. And for me, that was one of the films where, again, Truman Show did it for me. I knew who she was for sure at that point. And then I could think back on other movies I'd seen her in. And some of them, like Congo, I wouldn't want to see again, but but remembering her. But You Can Count on Me was a film that I really liked quite a bit, and the dynamic there. And again, it's that understated, restrained quality that Marie and I have been talking about, that she doesn't have to push or force it at all. There's a naturalness to that. And for me, that's why even when I see her in some later films where either the film doesn't quite do it for me or her role's a little on the small side or whatever, she's a welcome presence. I'll put it that way. And that's not meant as a backhanded compliment whatsoever. It's just when I see her pop up in any movie, I think, ah, good. And this is not just, again, you know, sort of backhanded compliment, easy on the eyes for her. No. I mean, you know, she'll deliver the goods. You can count on her in that respect. And so that's why, particularly at that point in her career, Truman Show, and then You Can Count on Me, you feel like she's arrived, you know, and whether it's a lead role or a supporting role, that's okay. She's going to do good work.
Now she takes that, you know, typical girl next door, somebody's sister kind of persona into the role she plays in Love Actually in 2003, which I think this is where a lot of people discovered her. And it's an ensemble piece. It's got, you know, a zillion wonderful actors in it. But her character plays the sister of a guy who's, you know, got some mental problems and is constantly calling her for reassurance, which plays into the whole plot of her pursuing a relationship, you know, with the hot guy who works in her office, and it doesn't quite work out. And I, along with a lot of other people who absolutely love that movie and watch it every year at Christmas, each time we watch it thinking maybe this year, this will be the year that she doesn't pick up that phone and she ends up with Carl. And of course, you know, it never works out that way, but hope springs eternal. But it's such a great role and she plays it with such empathy. You really feel for her. She's in a terrible situation. You know, she wants to do the right thing, doesn't really take care of her own self. You really feel for her character. Every time you watch it, you think this is going to be the year. She's not going to pick up that phone. Now, interestingly, this is what, you know, you sort of alluded to this. She's a movie star without being like what you think of as a movie star. And I say that because while she was filming Love Actually, she was also filming a forgettable movie called Mystic River in Boston. So she flew across the Atlantic several times to, you know, work on both movies. I mean, how can anything be more movie star than that? And yet there's something very understated about her where you don't really think of her as being that kind of a movie star. And yet when they were casting Love Actually, they were thinking, you know, for this character, you know, who would be great? A Laura Linney kind of a person. If we could just find a Laura Linney kind of an actor. And obviously somebody said, well, why don't we ask Laura Linney? And I really can't imagine anybody else doing that role with the same effect where you think, you know, there's never a moment when you're not totally on her side in that movie, even though she doesn't really get to control the outcome of things. There's never a moment where you're not completely rooting for her. And I think that's telling of a really good actor.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm smiling all through our episode as we talk about her. She plays the sister on more than one occasion. She plays the wife, whatever. And this dovetails with our discussion of, is she or is she not a movie star? I mean, she is and she isn't. But one of the ways in which I think she's not really trying to be a big up on the marquee movie star is she'll take roles where she knows it's a supporting role. Case in point, Kinsey in 2004. Liam Neeson plays the title role, Alfred Kinsey, the researcher. She plays the wife there. She received an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress. I mean, you know, it's a really good performance. But you know what? If you were a movie star, and you were looking over scripts, you and your people, as they would say, right? You and your agents and all, they might say, you know what? Liam Neeson's got a lot more time on screen than you do. And there have been cases like later in her career, like the film Sully, for instance, where, you know, again, as a supportive wife, where it doesn't work quite as well because there it's so much the Tom Hanks character as the airline pilot and everything that's going on there and, you know, high drama up in the air. That she, in a case like that, she's good, but it's kind of a one-note performance because what more could you know, she's like the supportive, worried wife, if you will. Like, what's the latest? What have you heard? Kind of, you know, and she's sort of like back, keeping the home front, if you will. Not a whole lot of screen time and really in the character as scripted, not a whole lot to work with. And again, she's reliable. She's really good and you'll like her in that. But there have been times where sometimes she'll take like a supporting role that way where you just feel like, you know, okay, they thought, well, let's get a Laura Linney type. And then, well, why don't we get Laura Linney? And she delivers, you know, so again, all praise to her for delivering. But again, a movie star wouldn't necessarily even take a role like that. You know what I mean? Because they would know from the get-go, where's all the media attention going to go? It's going to go to Liam Neeson or it's going to go to Tom Hanks. You know what I mean? These are like the leads and you're like in support of them. But again, that's a stage actor thinking. Stage actor loves the character roles, loves the supporting roles sometimes because you get some really great scenes and you have enough time on stage. You don't have to be the name above the title.
Now, speaking of Kinsey, she gained about 20 pounds for that role, mainly by eating Krispy Kreme glazed donuts. I mean, talk about dedication to the craft. Now, all kidding aside, not every actor would have done that because they would have thought, well, I'll just play this character, you know, and the slender version rather than try to really get into the role. Now, she does a great turn in 2007's Nanny Diaries. That's the movie I picked up to watch, you know, looking through her career, like, what haven't I seen? And she's fabulous in that because she plays this horrible mom, you know, completely self-absorbed. And she like really goes for it. You know, she doesn't hold back. Like, I don't want people to dislike me. You kind of have to like, kind of like the gaining the weight for the Kinsey role, that she really commits. And I think that's one of the things that comes out in all of her roles is that she's not concerned about whether or not this character is likable or, you know, is a good role for her career. It's just a good role. And so she just sinks her teeth into it. Nanny Diaries is actually way more watchable than I thought it would be. But where I have to say, Laura Linney really shines for me, where I saw her and I thought, I want to see everything she's ever done, is John Adams. in 2008, where she plays Abigail Adams. First of all, it's a wonderful series on all counts, but she's so wonderful as Abigail because it's historical. And you don't think of necessarily women in those days being so involved in their husband's political career and being such a great sounding board for them. I had no idea of the closeness between John Adams and Abigail Adams, how much he relied on her to just help him figure everything out, not because he wasn't smart or anything, but he needed somebody to, you know, sort of be his sounding board. And she really was that. And I think that's a hard role to do, but Laura Linney is absolutely perfect in it. I honestly cannot imagine anybody else doing that role. And every time I watch any part of John Adams, I'm always really impressed with her in it and really appreciative that she gave me that sort of background about Abigail Adams.
Talked a lot about her as a theater actor and, of course, as a film actor, but we'd only quickly mention all the work in television. And Marie makes a very good point. She's done some really good work in TV. And so there's that versatility of an actor who's just extremely well prepared and so on. In this same time frame, in terms of films she's doing that are notable, I'll quickly mention The Squid and the Whale in 2005. Again, it's a, you know, independent film that has some crossover appeal commercially, but again, how divorce impacts a middle-class New York family. Again, she's good at playing that kind of role of the wife, whatever, and also working with other actors like Jeff Daniels, Jesse Eisenberg. It's a Noah Baumbach as director there. Just a really, really smart package overall there, and she gets a lot of good attention for that. That's in 2005. 2007, The Savages, where she co-stars with Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's where they play siblings. What's the connecting thread here when she'll play a sister and then play a sister again? But again, that dynamic there. And for that film, she did receive one of her Academy Award nominations for Best Actress. So again, that's a film that, again, was pretty much on the indie film circuit. But again, she's not thinking movie star. She's taking roles that in films that we would say push come to shove are independent films with, you know, some commercial appeal, but it's not a big Hollywood production. She's looking for the quality script and the right people to work with. Again, major movie stars do that for sure. But in her case, again, my inclination to think of her just as a good working actor who wants quality in her work. And whether it's a supporting role or a small indie film, she'll do it. You know, it doesn't have to be a big starring role.
Also, you know, not ashamed or worried about doing TV, because the other thing I have seen her in, which I thought she was absolutely fantastic in, was the TV show on HBO, I think it was, The Big C, might have been Showtime, where she plays a woman who finds out she has skin cancer and then goes through all of the things that, you know, would happen to you when you have cancer, when you're a young person, when you've got marital problems. But she gets to play, you know, a person who is fed up with a lot of how things have gone. And that's where the show really gets its heft from, because you see her going through situations where, you know, she goes to a gardening store and she's buying some plants and somebody just tries to barge in front of her in line, which, you know, most of the time you just sort of step back. It's like, it's not worth fighting over. And then you see her character stopping and thinking and going, no, wait a minute. No. And then just forcing her way in front of that lady, being even more, you know, obnoxious and saying, you know what, I've got cancer and I don't have time for this. And I'm not waiting for you. I'm on a TikTok. I've got a limited amount of time and I'm not putting up with this kind of stuff. So she gets a chance to really express all those kinds of things, like all of the things you wish you could do and say, because you've got nothing to lose. And she does so well with that. She also gets to play, you know, the fear. You know, how scared you are when you have that sort of diagnosis, how it impacts, you know, your daily life in terms of how you feel and everything. She also has a really hilarious brother character in the film. So again, that sister, the older sister is supposed to, you know, be the rock. And, you know, you can't always be the rock when you have cancer. But the brother-sister dynamics in that show are absolutely fantastic. And finally, you know, she really channels that anger of, you know, why is this happening to me? And why should this happen to me? And I think she's such a great actor because she does all of those things while being very sympathetic and very likable. And you just, you want her to make it, but you also know, given the way life actually is, that she may not. Also, I think hits on that idea of the underdog really well, that all of her characters, you know, they're hardly ever the star, even though like in something like The Big C, she is the star. But it's also an ensemble piece. and she doesn't need to hog all of the scenes or, you know, not let anybody else have their moment. The balance she hits is just really on the money. Have you watched that show at all, Mike?
No, I haven't, but I loved your use of the word channeling, because it seems to me that an actor like that is really disciplined. And she knows how to take those emotions. And again, we keep using words like restrained and you know, and I don't mean passive in a pejorative sense, but just simply she doesn't have to be showy. She can just be there and be the character. But when there is a moment, if you will, it's very tightly controlled. And this isn't just the character who's tightly controlled. It's the actor knowing when to hit that button, if you will, right? So she has those traits. She has those qualities for sure. I've got to say, in her more recent work, and we're going back over like the last 5, 6, 7 years, she hasn't been in that many notable films in recent years. And I'm a little concerned that way. There have been films like Hyde Park on the Hudson and Mr. Holmes, Genius and so on. Films that, you know, for whatever reason, for me, don't quite entirely click. And sometimes her roles are supporting there. I think it's partly that her second marriage has been a happy one, and she has, you know, has a child by it. And I, again, this is armchair psychoanalysis, but I just think like in the last decade or so, there's probably been a lot of attention, you know, devoted to that second marriage and to the child that she had and so on. What do you think, Marie? Because it seems to me that she's still working. I don't want to overstate this, and she's still appearing in quite a few films, but it seems like the career did slow a little bit, or not as many high profile projects. What do you think?
I think you're right. And I want to quote something that she said. She said, people can't really place me. They're not really sure who I am. Sometimes they think I'm Helen Hunt. Sometimes they think I'm Laura Dern. And I thought, wow, that is really, I can see how she would be confused with those ladies, because they also mine some of the same fields that she does. But I think once you've seen Laura Linney in something where she really resonates, like The Big C, like John Adams, like Love Actually, like The Truman Show, you could never confuse her with Helen Hunt or Laura Dern. Do you want to give the last word on that before we close out?
I think you're right. Once you notice her and like really notice her, it's imprinted that way. But for people who've seen, you know, some of her movies and maybe not others, particularly with the supporting roles, I think those confusions are quite understandable in terms of physical appearance, in terms of character types and so on. And it must be frustrating for an actor. You know, you imagine, here's the hypothetical like airport lounge situation. Somebody come running up, oh, you know, Miss Hunt, I love your work. And well, I'm not Miss Hunt, I'm Miss Linney. You know, I mean, that must happen on occasion, right? And for an actor, that's gotta be sort of a daunting moment, like being mistaken for someone else there. But I love your use of the quote there, that she's keenly aware of that, that she sort of slides into a particular kind of role, and certain other actors have enough physical resemblance and enough character traits that are similar, that sure, it must happen to people like that quite often. So again, you're not a celebrity movie star. You're a quality actor, and sometimes you'll be mistaken for somebody else.
You know, I have to say, I get the sense that she doesn't really mind, that she just wants to be there to do the work. But that brings us to the end of our episode. Don't forget to check out our other shows at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. And we will see you at the movies.
See you then.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.